Nice to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, suffering a little bit from a cold, so I hope you'll excuse me that. But really pleased to have Philippe Cocard with me today from Wallersheim Winery. He's president and winemaker of Wallersheim Winery in Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin, president of Cedar Creek Winery in Cedar Creek, Wisconsin as well. And he's with us today to talk about the traditions of Nouveau wine. We can talk about that wine. We can talk about winemaking in general. We can talk about grapes and wines, and certainly invite your calls and questions as we move along today. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org. Philippe, welcome back.
Hello.
Great to have you back. And you know that tradition of Nouveau wine, I suppose, got started in France, didn't it?
Yeah, in Beaujolais.
Beaujolais.
Beaujolais is the region where I grew up, where I was born. And I think it was out of marketing necessity in the 60s. Beaujolais was going through a crisis where the wine was not very well known. They came up with that concept of releasing a wine as fast as possible. So basically the grapes are picked in September. The wine is bottled late October on the market the third Thursday of November, and it's distributed worldwide. And it has been extremely popular for Beaujolais. Extremely popular worldwide, from Australia to San Francisco and here in Wisconsin as well. It's a big party in France, in Beaujolais, and it's a celebration of the harvest.
Yeah, and you were in, you just got back last night?
I got back last night. Actually, I was home. My dad had surgery, open heart surgery, replacement of a valve. He's doing extremely well, but I was there for the release of Beaujolais Nouveau and had many chances to taste a few.
So it must be quite a sight to be in Beaujolais for this.
Yeah, it is. The main town in Beaujolais is called Villefranche. It's a little the commercial capital of Beaujolais, and they close Main Street. And Saturday all day from 10 a.m. until whenever the street is closed. Every co-op, large winery, small winery have a tasting booth in the street, and every block there's a different band. It's a lot like Taste of Medicine.
Ah.
And it draws the same kind of crowd and customer and tasting wine.
Mm. Jim Packard, you and I are going to have to go to that. Jim's our producer, by the way, and answering your calls as they come in. That must have been a lot of fun.
It was fun. The weather was a little damp and wet, but I don't think it slowed the crowd.
Well, I tell you, and of course, you brought that whole concept to Wisconsin at Wallersheim.
Actually, it was very interesting. 1984, when I came on board with Bob and Joanne Wallersheim, Bob trusted my abilities and said, well, I give you a project, make the same wine that you would make at home. And so we looked around for some specific kind of equipment, specific kind of fermenters. Unlike a big red wine like a Bordeaux, a Cab, a Shiraz, Nouveau is made by not crushing the berries. So you have to do what we call a whole berry fermentation, which we can talk about, and that's how it makes this wine a little bit fruitier and lighter than other wines. So Bob and I looked for some equipment with which we could do that. And it was the birth of Ruby Nouveau in 1984, and it was a hit in Madison in 1984, and I think it was the tip of the iceberg. It mm-hmm. made us being taken seriously. We were in for a good run, and we have grown ever since. Later on, Prairie Fumé came on board, and we can talk about that. It's the 20th anniversary of Prairie Fumé next year.
Oh,
Prairie Fumé really made us grow, but Ruby Nouveau was the The first one, I think that we were noticed in Madison as of 1984.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, the whole berry fermentation, what's the difference? Why do you...
And that was the concept by which made Beaujolais Nouveau known and enjoyable right away. If you were to drink a Cabernet, a Shiraz, a Pinot Noir right now, those wines would be very high in tannin, kind of rough and crude and just not ready to be enjoyed. The fact that we do a whole berry fermentation, the berries are uncrushed, so you don't have a lot of extraction of the tannin. And so right away, this wine, the Nouveau wines are a lot younger, smoother, softer, fresher, fruitier than a big red wine that needs to age to become soft and mellow. So Nouveau wine can be enjoyed right away, like a Beaujolais Nouveau, like the Ruby Nouveau.
What's the shelf life on a Nouveau?
Amazingly, we always say anywhere from 4 months to 6 months, but they will hang around for a couple years and not really change. But the whole idea of having it now around Thanksgiving is to capture its freshness and fruitiness. The moment is right now.
And that's a nice wine then to have along with Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. It's a tradition, a celebration that we have had with Bob and Joanne to have had Ruby Nouveau ever since for Thanksgiving dinner.
And, you know, just to go back on the history a little bit, the winery goes back even beyond Bob.
Yes, the winery is, and you know, with a lot of pride, we could say is one of the oldest in the nation. Mm-hmm. It predates a lot of wineries in Michigan and New York State and so on. The site was founded in 1847 by a count from Hungary. The building, the house and the winery building were built from 1858 through 1868. And as a coincidence, this year with the new expansion, we are celebrating 150 years from
150 years. That's amazing. Well, as you and I want to give people a chance to join in. By the way, if you have a question or comment as we talk wines and grapes and the Nouveau wines, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. When you age the big wines, let's say, what actually is the process? What happens to that wine when it's aging?
Well, number one, you have to make that wine with the intention of being aging potential. So throughout the growing, starting with the grapes, where they are grown, how the wine is made, fermented, and aged in the barrels, that wine has aging potential. It is bigger to begin with. It has you would call it square shoulders. It's a beefy, muscle, heavier wine. During the barrel aging, there is a minute amount of oxygen, and there is what we call a redox, reduction oxidation, that blends, binds, marry. Alcohol, tannin, polyphenols, anthocyanin, flavors. And as the wine continue to grow and evolve in the barrel as well as it will in the bottle, the wine is mellowing, softening, developing different flavors, different aromas and bouquet. At first, it's very grapey, blackberry, black currant, jammy and so on. But as it changes, it goes a little bit finer, like tobacco leaves, like leather, like bread, like fine cheese. And that would be towards the end of the wine. But some of those ageable wines, such as the Domaine Reserve or a Big Cab or a Fancy Pinot, we talking 10 to 20 years of aging potential. And some wines will do beyond that, you know. Wow. But I would say the average ageable wine, 10 to 15 years is a good reference for aging wine.
So when you buy a bottle of wine, a big bottle like that, you can. It's maybe better to let it sit. Or?
Oh, absolutely. We have some Domaine Reserve 2004 is a huge vintage. It hasn't started to age yet, and it should hang around for another 5-6 years before it is at its peak.
Ah, and what's the best way? We've got some emails here I want to ask you about, but what's the best way then to store? You mean bottle up and all that? But
no, all those traditional wine, including at Watersham Winery, Cedar Creek Winery, and I would say most of those wines are using natural cork, so they should be laid down in a cool place. Doesn't have to be cold, but cool place. And the main thing is the fact that the temperature should not fluctuate. You will kill a fancy bottle of wine if the wine goes from 50 to 70 degrees and just keep on changing like that.
Okay.
That's not good for any wine. And certainly not good for those ageable wines. So if you can keep it, it doesn't have to be 55 year-round, but it has to be constant.
Okay. We have an email here from Cliff who says, I've recently started winemaking as a hobby. A friend of a friend had recently given up his winemaking and gave me a large amount of his equipment. The condition of the gift was that I take all of his standing brews. They include cranberry, grape, and other miscellaneous berries. He was an old-school winemaker, get the fruit, mash it, add a couple of cups of sugar, rack it, and leave it be, often for years. Now I've heard from around that his wine was often very good, but can I take and kill with Campton and start over with my own yeast and measured ingredients, or are these old brews best taken at their current worth?
Once it started, just let it go. Let it finish on its own. Next year, if and when he wants to restart, then he can start fresh. But if we are talking about stuff that is aging or still fermenting, or I would not do anything on it. What you could do is make sure that the jugs are topped, full, not oxidizing, but if the wine is finished to extend its life, it could be racked off, meaning that it can be siphoned from one jug to another jug. And at that time, you could add one Camden tablet per gallon. That would be 50 ppm total. You would end up with 10 or 20 free ppm, which is good to safeguard the wine. My instinct at this moment would be just let it finish, let it go, and start fresh next year.
Okay. And Camden, what is Camden?
Camden tablet is what we call in our business sulfite. Sulfur sulfite, which is anti-oxidation and would kill some wild yeast or wild bacteria. It's something, you know, coming back from France and from Europe, it is on the label, Camden sulfite. And a lot of people coming back from Europe say, oh, you know, how is it that I can drink more wine there? They don't add sulfite. Well, it is not required on the labels, so it doesn't appear on the label. But sulfite has been used in the wine industry since 1764 as a documented usage of sulfite. So it's been around, it's in the soil, it's naturally produced. So there's just nothing wrong with that.
All right. We'll take some calls, Colette, coming up next. But just to remind you, our guest today, Philippe Cocard, president and winemaker of Watersham Winery, Prairie du Sac, and Cedar Creek Winery, Cedar Creek, Wisconsin. Give us a call with your questions or email us. The call number is 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller with Philippe Cocard here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking Nouveau and wines and other wines as well with Philippe Cocard. Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you listening in. We'll take some calls now. Colette in River Falls is up first here, so let's go to Colette. Hi, Colette.
Hi. We have sort of a small home winery. We've been making wines for a number of years, but we started a vineyard too. And some of the grapes we've been trying, but I'm not sure what to do with are the Frontenac grapes. And this year we didn't have enough to do 5 gallons, so I blended it with Beaujolais concentrate. But I was wondering next year, when we find it, when should be the fifth year, and we should have enough to do quite a bit wine. What would be the best way to produce the best wine from Frontenac grapes?
Well, Frontenac is one of those up-and-coming big red, and it's been around, I would say, for shy 15 years. And a lot of vineyards are coming to maturation, and it has a huge potential. Frontenac needs to be picked late, and late is, if you have a way of measuring sugar when you are anywhere past 22, into 23, and up to 24 breaks. The longer you can let it ripen, the less acid you will have.
Yes, because our acid was really high this year. It had a lot of acid.
It's always really high. So I would say do a lot of vineyard practices that you can. Leaf removal in August, optimizing sunlight penetration. Only the heat and the sunlight will help you to burn the acid down. So pick it late as possible. Do a conventional fermentation, and you can end up here in this part of the Midwest with a big red like a Cabernet or like a Shiraz with an aging potential of 10, 15 years. A Frontenac well made is an outstanding wine.
Yeah, and River Falls is a bit north too. So.
Yeah, and Frontenac is grown in Minnesota and doing good. It's one of those future big red for the upper Midwest wine industry.
Mm. Well, hopefully we're on a good spot. We're on a south-facing slope over limey soil over lime rock.
Perfect.
I'm hoping it will be a good spot.
Yeah, you will do good.
Thank you.
Good.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's turn to Matt in Green Bay next. Hi, Matt.
Hello. Great show.
Thanks.
Just got a quick question. I'm going to go a little bit off subject, but it's still a wine, I think.
Okay.
I've got a batch of honey mead that I made. Oh my God, this is going back 15 years ago now, and it's been aging and sitting in a carboy for 15 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do with it?
Just drink it. I would say it has aged well as long as it should. You didn't have to age it that long, I would say a year or two.
This is just plain laziness. I didn't ever get to bottling it.
and I would say, I mean, long as it did not turn brown and oxidize, if it's nice and golden and yellow, the color it was, I would just enjoy it. Try to don't disturb too much the jug because you will have a lot of haziness or cloudiness at the bottom of it. So siphon it very gently, maybe put it in the fridge, let it settle another week, and if it has been stable for that long, it's great. Just don't
be great.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Okay, so no reason to bottle it and, you know, re-sugar it to get some carbonation into it. Just drink it plain like wine then.
Absolutely. You could bottle it as such, but don't tweak it, don't change it. I would just enjoy it as it is.
Wonderful. Okay, well, thanks for that.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, with your wine or grape question at 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. What are the, the Ruby Nouveau is made from Foch, isn't it?
Foch. And Foch is one of those French-American hybrid that Bob was experimenting with. And that goes back 35 years when Bob and Joanne bought the place, had a search around which grape would do well around here. Went to New York State, connected with some pioneer of the wine industry 35 years ago. Bob had been given, I would say, 40 different grapes to experiment with. And that's how we settled on Foch, being really our quote-unquote bread and butter at the winery, mm-hmm. From which we make the Prairie Red, the Ruby Nouveau, the Prairie Blush, Domaine du Sac and Domaine Reserve, as well as the Port is made from Foch. So for us, it's really, I would say it's the grape closest to our heart. That's what we are known for and do well at the winery. It doesn't mean other grapes such as Marquette, Frontenac have a chance. We are just not using them in our program. But Frontenac has a bright future in the upper Midwest wine industry.
That's excellent. Well, Prairie Fumé, you know, I was we had a little get-together here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and there were seven or eight of us sitting around chatting, and the white wines came up, and I said, well, my favorite is Prairie Fumé. I really enjoy Prairie Fumé. And virtually everyone sitting at the table mm-hmm. yeah, said, you know, it was their favorite white wine.
Yeah, it's funny. That wine by itself, quite often with Cindy, our sales manager, we talk about that. People know Prairie Fumé, they don't even know Watersham Winery. But they know Prairie Fumé, and it has become a brand of itself, a name of itself. And actually, what's interesting is next year we are slowly starting to think about our words of choice for next year, our logo, our T-shirt. Everything will be built around the Prairie Fumé because it will be 20th anniversary, 20 years of Prairie Fumé as of next year.
Oh, man. Is that your largest selling?
Oh, yeah. It's it's anywhere from 300,000 to 400,000 bottles just of Prairie Fumé.
Well, it's a wonderful white. I tell you that, and that was your development.
Yeah, it was. Actually, I always mention Pepino Gargano, who 1988 during the harvest of 1988 gave me a bottle of Fumé Blanc from Vente Brothers. And he just brought it on the table and said, hey, just have that with your wife. And at the time, our daughter, Celine, who is 20 years old, was with us in a high chair. And she had to be 6 months old, uh-huh. Or not even. Anyway, so I enjoyed that wine. And I thought, it kind of hit me in the face. And said, it was during harvest. And I said, I've got to capture the freshness of the fruit in a bottle just like right now, you know, instead of sitting on the wine, mm-hmm. a little bit like the Nouveau concept, yeah. Instead of aging it and losing the freshness and losing the fruitiness and so on, just capture the essence of the grapes into a bottle. So I kind of went back to my college books, stopping fermentation, natural residual sweetness, and ever since we've done that. And that's how Prairie Fumé was born. Made it in 1988, released it in 1989, in March of 1989. Right off the bat, it got 4 gold medals, and it never stopped.
No, it's a wonderful wine. Christina in Sun Prairie has a question for you. Hi, Christina.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a question. I was in a liquor store the other day, and I asked him about Beaujolais, and they said that will be coming in about the 20th of November. What exactly is Beaujolais? Is a Beaujolais or Beaujolais?
Beaujolais is a region of France, which I would say is, if you were to look at France, is in the northern corner of the southeast corner, and near Lyon, south of Burgundy. Not very far from Switzerland. It's in that lower corner of France. Beaujolais is a region which gave the wine its name. In Beaujolais, they can grow the Gamay grape, which makes a very fruity, light, customer-friendly, very enjoyable red wine. Not a lot of other wines are made in that region. So Beaujolais is a region, Beaujolais is a wine, and this time of the year, we are celebrating what we call Beaujolais Nouveau, which is the freshest, youngest wine of the previous harvest. The grapes that were on the vines in September are already wine, are bottled, and are called Beaujolais Nouveau. That's what's going on with Beaujolais Nouveau right now. Beaujolais, being a region, has other wine, such as Beaujolais Village and other fancier Beaujolais like Chirouble, Moulin Avant, Morgon, Juliena. Those are a little bit bigger wine, more in the direction of a Pinot Noir from Burgundy. But in a nutshell, that's what Beaujolais is.
And you mentioned, Christina, you mentioned that they said it was coming along about the
20th of November, and I haven't gone back. So I thought, because I had read about it in the Wall Street Journal, and I thought, I really would like to get some. So
you will find like right now, I would say this week, middle of last week, and then I would say for the next 2 or 3 weeks, you will find Beaujolais Nouveaux out on the market in that spirit of celebrating the past harvest.
Well, good.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And your Ruby Nouveau, that was celebrated, and you had to be in France for your father's
heart surgery. It was Thursday, this past Thursday. I would say the peak of it was Saturday, where we had hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands of people at the winery this past Saturday. And it will keep on being celebrated, I would say, throughout the next weekend. We have also Kiss Club tasting at the winery next weekend. But all the stores in the Madison area have Ruby Nouveau.
I have it right now.
Yeah.
And do you have the Case Club tasting is for those who are in that club.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other events that you've got coming up? Or
actually, we have. Case Club tasting is for the club members, but it's fairly easy to become a club member by purchasing one case of wine, and then you are invited to other event and Kiss Club tasting and so on. But we do have the port celebration coming January 31st, I think, is the last Saturday of January. But prior to that, we have Friday night, January 9th, we have a fundraiser for Brain Cancer Society or Brain Cancer Research. It's $75 a ticket. All the funds are going directly to Brain Cancer Research. And we are doing a vertical port tasting. We're starting with our port of 2001 and going through all the vintages, even a sneak preview of a tawny port that we have bottled of the vintage 2004, which will be released at the port celebration January 31st.
And you have this wonderful new addition. And we'll get to you, John, in just a minute, but you have a wonderful new addition to the winery. Beautiful building.
We just love it. You know, it's something, you know, like everything in a family business, nothing moves really fast, but we plan for years. We had talked about that expansion, I would say, for the last 5 years. And we had grown significantly in equipment and tanks and fermentation room and chilling system and bottling line and so on. And we had seen the last few years that we were lacking the customer comfort, customer zone. You know, it was always a little bit packed and rushed and so on. So this past year, we basically did an entire building for more customer service and just more relaxing and strolling. And it is beautiful. It fits in. Everybody loves it. And it didn't take anything away from the beauty of the place. It just blends in perfectly.
Well, it blends in beautifully with it, with the rest of the place. So it's wonderful. I want to give John in Milwaukee a chance next. Hi, John.
Well, good morning, Larry and Philippe.
Good morning. Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm just getting thirst for wine just listening to you. 40 years ago, I got hooked on wine. In fact, a wonderful French Beaujolais when I was in a Boone's Farm apple wine kick. So I've been happy ever since then. But now recently, and I enjoy wine almost every day. And recently, I'm now in my early 60s. I'm getting more of a headache sensations, or let's just say cranial sensations, after drinking 3-4 glasses of red wine. Obviously, I've become sensitive to various congeners in wine. And my question is the use of sulfates in winemaking. I know that each vintner uses a certain amount to inhibit spoilage. And could you help me understand the various worldwide winemaking techniques and the various methods they use to inhibit the spoilage, including the use of sulfates?
Very good question, and we could talk hours about it, but I will try to answer it in a short possible time as I can. But a very, very good question, and I can tell you we hear the same comment every day. The issue is not the sulfite. The issue might be the tannin. And the sulfite, if you were to do the experience, you take any white wine, any semi-dry white wine, have more sulfite than reds. Reds do not need as much sulfite because they have the natural protection being the tannin. The red pigmentation is a natural antioxidant. That's why it's one of the many reasons why red wines are a lot healthier to enjoy than white wine. Because the whites don't have the natural tannin, they need more sulfite. And so if you had headaches from drinking white wine, I would say it's sulfite related. But from drinking red wine, red wines have less sulfite, so it should not be related to sulfite, but most likely to the tannin. One of the experiences you could do is a lighter, older red wine in which the tannin have decreased or settled, and do that kind of experiment. But big red wine will have a lot of more tannins.
So, well, I love to age wines, and so I will just keep them in the basement a little longer. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, John. Thanks a lot for calling. Let's go to Sally in Wayland, Minnesota next. Sally, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me. It's always nice to talk to you, Larry, and guest. I am interested, and I have been planting, instead of just ornamental bushes that don't really do much around my yard, I want to plant things that I can harvest the food from, the berries.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you had a preference on the type of bush that would make the best wine, elderberry, serviceberry, those types of plants.
Wow. I'd say plant grapevines. elderberry do an outstanding homemade berry wine. And I would say elderberry are second to grapes when it comes to quality of homemade wine. So first choice would be elderberries. But you could plant a grapevine, and you could grow it on a fence line. You could grow it on top of a grape arbor. It requires very little maintenance, very little care, a little bit of trimming and pruning in the spring of the year just so it would not grow wild. But we have at the winery, we have it on a grape arbor, just as you walk up the path, and it's just beautiful, and the birds enjoy what's left.
Oh, yes, I agree. Grapevines are definitely worth growing, and I do grow them. But like I said, as far as ornamental plantings around your house, alternatives to just plants that don't do anything, but plants that actually have berries on them that you can eat. What are good ones for me to plant that I can also make wine with? Elderberry, that's a great suggestion. I'm going to plant the elderberries. But
thanks.
There's other things. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering if you had an opinion one way or the other.
Unfortunately, not really.
Okay, that's fine. No. I'm going to plant more elderberries.
Thank you.
All right, Sally.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, now the Ruby Nouveau is pretty much every, you know, it's out into the stores around...
Throughout town. Some restaurant, I would say, just ask for it. Some restaurant have Ruby Nouveau. All the stores in the Madison, Milwaukee, statewide have the Ruby Nouveau. It is just a nice, fun, light, fruity red. This year we have bottled it in a screw cap closure, so you don't even need a bottle opener. Just... twist of the wrist and fill up a glass and enjoy it.
Well, I tell you, you have one of the prettiest labels I have ever seen.
It is
a beautiful label.
Yeah, it is beautiful. Every 3-4 years, we kind of reinvent the packaging. The lady who designed this label also painted our cow. Prides of the Cows. And
it'll stand
enlightening,
out.
Yeah.
It'll stand out in the stores, that's for sure. Well, it's wonderful. And Philippe, people can go to your website to find out more, too. What's the
Wollersheim.com.
Wollersheim.com. It's Wollersheim, if I'm not mistaken. Wollersheim.com.
And we have a 800 phone number as well, 1-800-VIP-WINE.
VIP-WINE.
Yeah.
Well, it's always a pleasure, and I can't wait to try out this Ruby Nouveau.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks a lot, Philippe. Philippe Cocard, president and winemaker of Wollersheim Winery in Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin, and president of Cedar Creek Winery in Cedar Creek, Wisconsin, our guest. And we'll have him back again probably in the spring. We can talk grapes and wine again. Appreciate it very much. Coming up, you know, of course, grapes and growing grapes depends a lot on the climate and the weather. You have to have the right kind of climate. You need the right kind of weather. And I don't know if Steve Ackerman and John Martin are winemakers, but they do know a lot about the weather. And they'll be up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.